be turning to the book of 1 Corinthians with me, chapter 6. Are y'all a little bit cold? Need a little more heat? Is everybody okay, or you need heat? Cold? Can somebody turn that up a couple degrees back there? Roger, turn that up a couple degrees on both sides. Just hit that up arrow. Usually I keep it low because it fills up and gets hot, but today it's a little bit light, so it's not heating up. It's about to heat up, Owen, here. I can tell you that right now. It's about to heat up. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. You're recording this, right, Brandon?
Yes.
Okay, thank you. We don't want a Wednesday night episode because I don't want the whole world to hear. That's okay. I'm not calling you out in front of everybody, just some people. I want this recorded because I want this message to be heard by those not here, because this is a message for all of us today. And it's a good old message talking about, let's just put it, paraphrase it, oh, living right. How's that? Let's just talk about that. Oh, man, no amens. Oh, I got the right message today. Okay. As I begin to study for this service for this Sunday, didn't know we have service or not because I heard the weather several days out, but prepared, and this is what God gave me. And we're talking about, are you in or out? And let me set you up a little bit what's happening here in 1 Corinthians. Paul is addressing the Corinthians, who were people who lived at Corinth, about their behavior. They were professed Christians. They said they followed Christ. They said they had placed their faith in Jesus, but they were not living that life. In Corinth, in that day, there was a lot of immoral behavior, just like any generation, going on. There was a lot of paganism. There was a lot of sexual immorality happening. People were still living just how they wanted to live. And Paul saw this, and he was concerned about this, saying, how, for you that say that you are now following this Christian faith, continue to live in the things that you used to live in. And I absolutely believe that as Christians, that we should separate ourselves from the world, and we should be different. Not perfect, but different. There should be fruit bearing in our lives. You know, I've used the example before. My grandma used to have fruit trees in her yard. She may still have, I don't know, but used to have fruit trees. She had a pear tree and maybe an apple tree, cherry tree, I don't know. But I know about a pear tree she had. And you know, you could go to that tree when it's blooming, and you can identify that tree because you see pears. Now, there's some rotten pears on that tree, and there's some on the ground all smushed and eaten by worms and stuff. That's all nasty. But you can still see it's a pear tree because it's producing the fruit. As Christians, we should be producing fruit with our lives, and not what we say as much, but how we live, and by the standard that we put in place. You know, we're in a generation now where anything goes. It doesn't matter. Nobody wants to be told what to do because we're our own big bad selves, and we don't need no instructions or teaching. And we can measure our morality based on what we think morality ought to be. But where does the measurement of true morality really begin? In the Word of God. If we truly believe there is a God, and He's over all things, and we surrender that there is a God over all things, shouldn't we surrender that He has put a moral plan in place for our lives, and that's how we measure morality? Now it's gotten into politics to where, you know, we have liberals, and we have conservatives, we have moderates, and we tend to base morality based on, well, the liberals don't have no morals, and the conservatives' morals are this, but it's not a political thing, it's a God thing. There are things the Bible puts in place that we know that we should live by. All of us in here know we should not murder someone. We all know we should not steal from someone. We all know we should not judge someone. We all know we should not cuss out someone. We know these things inside. These are guidelines that we should live by, but we don't many times because we live for ourselves. Well, Paul's addressing the people of Corinth saying, look, you were this way, but now you say you're saved, so you shouldn't be that way anymore. So let's get in some scriptures, and it gets really just, it really is in black and white this morning on this scripture. Verse 9, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. We're going to read 9, 10, 11, 12, and then skip a little bit. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind. And let me explain this. Effeminate and abusers of mankind is speaking specifically about homosexual acts. That's what it's talking about. You do study on this. This is homosexuality, which was huge in this time period, huge in this region. In fact, if you do some study, 14 of the first 15 Roman emperors practice homosexuality. So Paul is saying these are things that are no longer acceptable to walk in if you are professing to be a Christian. And this is not a detailed list of every sin, of course. Paul was just trying to cover the basics to let us know this is the lifestyle we're seeing and this is not the lifestyle of a Christian. Nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we all could put ourselves in that one of those categories at some time or another. And maybe you're there this morning, I don't know. But as we read this, it kind of gives you an idea of what Paul's addressing, that this is the behavior that they are living. But look what he says in verse 11. Such were some of you. This is who you were, he's saying. But you are washed. You are sanctified, which means set apart. And you are justified, which means you've been acquitted of your sins in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. You were that. But you're not that anymore. Because now Christ has set you apart to behave differently and to do something differently with your life than what you were before. There must be a change. Grace is not something we abuse. Paul addresses that. Grace is something that changes us. When you realize how much God loves you, you will want to live for Him. It won't be I have to, it'll be I want to, God, because look what you did for me. Look where I was and where I could have been. Look at where I was heading and now where I'm heading because of you. You've changed my life, God. You've changed me. I'm not what I used to be. So he let them know you were washed. You were set apart. You don't live that way no more. Look what verse 12 says. He says, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul was saying there are things in our lives that, you know, aren't going to send us to hell, okay? There's things in our lives that God still loves us and we're still saved. But what Paul is saying is, are there things in your lives that are holding you back? Are there things in your life that are a hindrance and putting you in bondage? Here's the person that asked me, Pastor, I drink a little bit of alcohol sometimes. Is that okay? Here's what I say. Can you stop and not drink it again? Well, that's where you got to say, is it hindering my walk? Is it putting me in a place of compromise? Is it putting me in a place of bondage? Yes, I know that if I drink a Michelob Light, God's not going to strike me down dead and say, you bad, bad, bad boy. But is it something in my life that as following Christ, I should check myself and say, you know what? Maybe I don't need this in my life now. I was that person. But you know what? It's scarring my witness. It's hindering my walk. It's blocking my thoughts. If nothing else, it may bring condemnation to your life and shame. Well, we know we've been set free from that, but if we're still entertaining those things, it keeps us in that shame, and it keeps us in that condemnation. And I'm going to tell you something. It is hard to serve God fully when you're still walking in shame because you can't have a right relationship. It's kind of how when your kids are doing stuff behind your back that you don't know they're doing, and they kind of dodge you, and they're kind of avoiding you, and they're kind of, you just tell, it's hard for them to have a right relationship when they're holding things back from you. Same way with Christ. So he's saying, I can do all things, but all things aren't smart. Use your noggin. Take a V8. Verse 15. Know ye not your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? This is good stuff, ain't it? I mean, Paul's just calling it like it is. Look, you are taking what you said saved you. You're taking your bodies, your spirit, your thoughts, your mind, but you're living still the harlot life. You're still living the street life. You're still living the thug life. You're still living the dark side. I said last week, if you live a shady life, you'll be in the dark. It's just that simple. People that live shady lives stay in the dark. Light's a good thing. When your power goes out, boy, don't you appreciate light? You're trying to find a flashlight, a candle, a cell phone, something, a cigarette. I don't know what you try to light something up. I want some light. Man, we appreciate it. Light illuminates things. Light brings things to life. Well, these people at Corinth had seen the light. They had believed in Jesus, but they were still entangled with the world they knew. And today we see Christians who think nothing about, and I've been at places where I know good Christians and deacons and even preachers that will, I've heard preachers say ugly words. I mean like cuss words. I've seen preachers drinking alcohol. You know, I've seen people I know that are big in church, you know, just out there doing, you can't tell them from the world. Grace is not something we abuse. Grace is something that brings us into a right relationship with Christ. But in order for us to be right with Jesus, we must surrender our lives to Him and say, you know what, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to know that I'm really born again. I want to know, God, I'm Yours. I want to serve my life serving You and not serving me anymore. That's one thing grace does. It takes us from serving ourselves to wanting to serve God, because the world makes us selfish. It's about us, about my appetite, about my desires, about what I want to do, about this and about this. You know, I read last week to you about how there was already 80,000 abortions in America in the first week of January. 80,000 abortions in the first week of January. You know, there's been 61 million, I think, abortions that are documented, I think, since 1973. I mean, that's a quarter of our nation. Of taking lives that matter and just getting rid of them as an inconvenience. That's not what Christians do. That's not what Christians support. That's not what Christians should believe in. Life is sacred, and we should appreciate that. And our life, God gave it for a reason, and it's to serve Him and follow Him. Look at verse 16. Know you not that which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. Whatever you're joined to is what you are. Think about that. What you're joined to is what you become. This is why you tell your children, right? It's so important who you hang out with. You hang out with losers, you're going to be a loser. I know that hurts y'all's feelings, because we're in this emotional generation. But it is what it is. You hang around loser people, you're going to be a loser person. You hang around a drug addict, you're going to do drugs. You hang around a drunk, you're probably going to be a drunk. You hang around loose women, you're going to be a loose man. That's just how it is. And so what you join yourself to is very important. And as Christians, we need to join ourselves to Christ. Attach ourselves to Him and recognize, I have been washed by the blood of Jesus. I've been bought with the price, as we'll read here in a minute. I don't belong to me anymore. I belong to Him. He paid the price for me. You mean I don't have a choice, Pastor? You have a choice. We have free will. We have a choice. But why will we choose to follow the harlot whenever Jesus paid a price for us to have everlasting life? Redemption in Him. Why would we do that? Verse 17. He that is joined in the Lord is one spirit. Now verse 19. Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? Why? Because you are bought with a price. Glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Jesus paid a price for me. I now belong to Him. Let's put it this way. Don't you belong to your boss 40 hours a week? Yes, a boss. Whatever he tells you, you want me to stand on my head in that trash can? I get $12 an hour, I'll stand on my head all day long. You're the boss. I belong to you. As Melanie's husband, it's not my own life anymore. That's why I tell married couples, if you really want to get married, realize it don't become about just you anymore. It becomes about what's best for you together. If something hurts Melanie, it hurts me. We're one body. If she's wounded, I'm wounded. If she's hurt, I'm hurt. She's rejoicing, I'm rejoicing. She's sad, I'm sad. We're joined together. We're one. God bought us through Calvary. The blood of Jesus was shed for our sins. I no longer am to serve myself. I'm to serve the one that paid the price for me. He is now my master and my Lord. He is now my king for all time. He bought me. But we live our lives as though nothing has changed. We live our lives, and we're in such a culture where everything is acceptable and it's okay. There's no standard anymore. To live together not married doesn't matter. To have kids not married doesn't matter. None of that matters anymore. And people that say it does matter are judgmental freaks that just don't understand. There's a reason there's a moral code God gave us. There's a reason we belong to God. There's a reason we should be serving God. There's a reason for it. We're such a society where just nothing matters. The church is incorporating the world even. The world's coming into the church instead of saying, you know what, no. This is why I say all the time, we ought to feel like this is a church. When you walk in the sanctuary, you ought to feel like you're walking behind the veil. There ought to be a difference. For those that brag about our church, don't, you know, we want to make it feel like a name of church, so everybody can. No, really? Look, if I go to a restaurant today, I want there to be food there. I don't want to walk in and there be no food, saying, oh, I thought, oh, you know, it don't even feel like a restaurant. You know what? You're right. You ain't got no food. It's a church. It's a house of worship. It's a house of God. There ought to be a reverence. There ought to be a moving of the Spirit. There ought to be a presence of an almighty creator in this place to distinguish. This is not the world. This is not a bar. It's not a dance club. It's not anything else. It is a sanctuary to where the Most High dwells. This is the Holy of Holies, where we touch the throne of God, and we're okay with that. It should be a place we want to be spoken to. We want our heart stirred. We want conviction running. We want to hear what God has to say. We want to feel the moving of the Holy Spirit. It ought to be a place we desire that. And we've lost that desire in the world because the world says everything's okay now. It just don't matter. Everything's okay. And it's not. There ought to be a separation. There ought to be a difference. We're so worried about offending people because of their choices that we have forsaken to tell them the truth of God's word and the truth of God's love. God does love us, but he does want us to walk with him and serve him and follow him. And that means I detach myself from the world and I apply myself to him. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Just got three verses here. And I want to do a little demonstration this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. Yes, chapter 5. And verse 15. 2 Corinthians 5, 15. That he died for all. Aren't you glad for that? He died for all. Even died for Gordon. That they which live. Look at this. For they that live should not live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, you don't live for yourself anymore. You live for God. Our desire is that we should want to honor and please God with our lives in all that we do. And if something is a stumbling block in our lives or causing someone else to stumble, then we need to redo that thing. Say, you know what? I don't want to be a stumbling block for someone else, and I don't want to be a stumbling block in my own life. I'm tripping over my sins trying to walk out a life of faith, and it's frustrating. But we have to change our mentality and change the inside of us to say, you know what, God, it's not about me anymore. It's about your will be done in my life. What do you want, God? What is your desire? God, I'm hungry and thirsty for righteousness. The Bible says those that hunger and thirst for righteousness shall be filled. Are we hungry for God's righteousness, or are we hungry for what the world can give us? The world cannot give us anything that lasts. Some of you may know, some of you may not know, but I'm working part-time with Nicholson Funeral Home. Been doing it for several months. And as I'm doing these burials and seeing these deaths of all ages, men and women, old and young, rich and poor, redneck and businessman. Guess what? They all end up leaving this earth, and nothing goes with them. They all end up laying in a morgue, getting prepared for burial. Visa cards don't matter. Houses don't matter. Lands don't matter. pleasure doesn't matter. All the worldly stuff doesn't matter because all of that for them now is gone. And all they have remaining is their future and where that future is at. That's all that matters. Death knocks on every door, and until the Lord returns to change us where we're at, our bodies all will give way to that enemy. And so we must understand a little bit of pleasure of the world. It all passes away. I think about what was his name? The Playboy guy. Howard Hughes? Hefner. I've seen who all. How many of y'all knew him? Notice only the guy spoke up. Gordon, Rodney, all that spoke up. Hugh Hefner, the Playboy guy. Now, let's be real. Now, us guys can't even man this right now in church, but let's be real. In the back of our mind, in the natural flesh part of our flesh, we would think, man, what a life he lived. Here he is with all these honeys, or bunnies, honey bunny. All these women, his whole life, young, beautiful women. He had this, big empire. He was rich. He was famous. He always had these women all around him. And for every guy, most guys, we'd be like, man, Hugh Hefner, he the man. How'd that old man get all them hot women, But, he died, a few years ago? How many years ago, Gordon? No, I'm playing. He died a few years ago. And he left behind all them bunnies, all that big mansion, his little night coat you always seen him in, whatever you call that thing. Smoking jacket, thank you. Yeah, smoking jacket. He left all that stuff behind, and he is now in eternity somewhere. All the pleasures he had on this earth are all gone now. And what matters was he washed? Was he sanctified? Was he justified? That's all that matters. For our lives, all that really matters is what's next for us, because we know all of this passes away. All of it. Our good health, our good looks, our money. I mean, people can't even retire now. They're still working to try to keep insurance. And people working their 80s just trying to hang on to be able to just live. But all that's going to go away one day. And all we have left is God. We don't live for ourselves. We live for the one that died and rose for us. Look at verse 17. This really sums it up. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. As Christians, there ought to be such a distinctive change in our lives that those old things are no longer the current things. They're the old things. That's how we used to be. It's what we used to be like. It's how we used to walk. It's how we used to talk, but not anymore. I've been changed. All things are new because I'm not living for me anymore. I'm not exercising my rights anymore. I'm exercising what God calls me to be. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord, and that's my desire. That's what I want. I don't want to be anymore living for me. As Marjorie sung that song so appropriate last Sunday, I want to be different. I want to be changed till all of me's gone and all that remains is the fire that burns. That's all I want. That should be our desire, that all of us old is gone. And Paul's addressing these people at Corinth because they are just absolutely still living like they have not been changed. And he's reminding them that's not how it is. Verse 20, I want to close with this verse. We are ambassadors for Christ. Now then, we are ambassadors. That word ambassador means representative. We are now the representatives of Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead be reconciled to God. Have a right relationship restored back to God. God made it available. It's up to us to say, God, you made it available, and I surrender my life to you. I want to be a representative. Think about your life. Does your life represent the Christ you serve? Would people look at your life, or the things in your life, that they walked up on you, they saw you, they heard you, they were around you, that you are representing Jesus in the way Jesus should be represented? Most of us fail at that, some more than others. But that should be our desire. God, I want to be in, all in. I don't want to be out no more. I don't want to be straddling the fence. God, I want to be in. I want to be in. Gorge, come up here, man. I want you to hold this globe. And let me get, y'all two come up here, Destiny. You and Chance, come up here. Y'all stand with Gordon. Sierra, you come up here too. We'll put you on this side too. I can't use many. I don't have mine in seats this morning, so I got to be careful here. All right. Bill, come up here. You stand over here on this side. Hold the cross facing the crowd. All right. I want you to picture a Christian's life. All right. Here's the world. They're living right now for the world. Sorry, y'all are sinners. And this represents the culture of the world, which means I'll do what I want, when I want, how I want, and ain't none of your business. That's the world, right? Back off. I'm going to go out and I'm going to party. I'm going to go drink. I'm going to sleep with who I want to. Because as you know today, for you young people, and I know y'all have heard this term, y'all too especially. I mean, not especially because you're young. It's going to sound terrible now. It's because you're young. But there's a term now called hook up, right? Just hook up. Well, yeah. The problem is I can't get anybody to hook up with me. So anyway, hook up. It's a term now where young people just have, it doesn't matter. They truly have just casual sex with no strings attached, no attachment. Just, this is hook up. Let's just chill and hook up and watch Netflix or something like that. That's a kind of term. Anyway, let's just do all that. It doesn't matter. I'm young. I can do what I want. And the world dictates how these lives are living. So all they're doing is they're following the pattern of the world, okay? The pattern of the world. Now this represents, what are you doing, man? Oh, this represents living for Jesus, the cross. So he's got faith on there. So Bill is living a life of faith. He used to be there, but now he's here. All right. Now, what I want you to do is I want you to wave at the globe. And then I want you to come over here. Here's what's happened. Sierra has made a choice. Bye-bye, world. No more am I serving that. I'm coming over to the cross. And I want to be a part of this world. I don't want to be there anymore. I want to be here. But these are very two distinct groups. This group does what they want. They say what they want. They live how they want. Most time, as you know, the worldly ways have very few restrictions. Really. They have very few restrictions. Whatever they want to do, they're going to do. Whereas this world has a moral code that they are following to the best of their abilities, saying, I want to follow, Lord, what you want me to do. And the Lord tells Sierra and Bill, I don't want you drinking. Okay, Lord, I'm not going to drink. The world says, everybody drinks. Everybody drinks. Remember what I told you last week about alcohol? I read you some stats. 30% of all traffic deaths are alcohol-related. And there are 80,000, I think, 80,000 deaths a year that are alcohol-related. So while these young people see the commercials and the world makes it look so good, we all see that, right? You see the commercials on football Sunday. They all look good. Everybody's handsome. Everybody looks good. Nobody's overweight. Nobody's fat. Everybody's got hair. Everybody's young. You don't see no middle-aged, bald, fat guys on beer commercials. They all look like me. And so, making sure y'all hear it, don't listen. So, you see the commercials, and they're all cheering, they're all happy, and it's, you know, got to celebrate, got to party, you know, and da-da-da-da-da-da, and they're doing their thing, and, you know, and the devil tells them, nothing wrong with that, nothing wrong with that. But if they have sold out to Christ, would Jesus be doing what they're doing? He wouldn't. Absolutely he wouldn't. He would be saying, come out from among them. Just like Sarah did. She came out from among them and connected herself to faith in Christ. And now her life is different. And now she looks different. She was on that side. Now she's on this side. She already looks different in faith. Can you tell the difference? Look at her. She looks so different. I mean, God really did a work instantly in her this morning. Totally different. That's the difference in the world and the difference in Christ. Two different groups, two very distinct groups. And God is calling us to be a representative of Him, which means that I don't no longer live unto myself. But everything I do, I should thank God, is this pleasing to you? God, how does this represent you? God, is this honoring you? God, is this what you want? And if it's not, check it in. Say, God, let me surrender to your will. Because God, I want my heart right. We got to either be all in or out. We can't be on the fence. In or out. And being in doesn't mean we're perfect. I've known Bill my whole life since I was 13 years old. And I know, and Christy's known him a long time too. And Bill ain't perfect, is he, Christy? Not at all. But you know what? I bet you overall, he produces a pear, don't he? He's a pear tree. You can see it. He produces that fruit. That's what God desires. Thank you all very much. Y'all can be seated. Thanks. Glad you crossed. Yeah. Gordon crossing over. More unbelieving, wasn't she? Yes. An angel. Yes. It really does make a difference, church. Are you in or are you out? And this morning can be a turning point to say, you know what, I'm not really all in. Not really. I'm in right here, and I want to be in, but I've not surrendered my life to the point that I'm totally in, saying, God, from this day forward, I'm in. I'm going to start living for you and not for me. Now, I understand God gives us desires. I understand that. We're supposed to have desires to do things. But if those desires violate the word of God, that's where they got to be checked. Because they're wrong desires. The devil's always working, right? Always tempting. But we do have the power through the Holy Spirit to overcome all temptation in Christ. The Bible says that. He does not give us more than we can handle. The Bible says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But we don't like resisting because we like what the devil shows us sometimes. You heard a joke I told many years ago about the woman bought the new dress. She went and bought this real expensive dress, showed it to come home, showed it to her husband, paid, you know, $700 for this dress. I cannot believe you paid all that. Why didn't you rebuke the devil? She said, well, I did rebuke the devil. But then when I turn around, he told me I look good from the back too. That's just how the devil works. I mean, we only hear what the devil said. We can justify anything. You know, the person drinking says, well, at least I ain't drinking hard liquor. Well, at least I ain't drinking a fifth. Well, at least I ain't drinking 7 days a week. Well, at least I don't smoke. At least I don't do weed. At least I don't do drugs. Well, at least I only sleep with one woman a month, not two. I'm just saying that we can always justify our sins. Instead, just saying, you know what, God? This is your body now. It belongs to you. The temple of the Holy Ghost. Think about it. God, you know where God did live, where his presence was? I mean, symbolically? The Ark of the Covenant. And they would carry that around. And then they would go behind the Holy of Holies. The high priest once a year would absolve the sins. And only the high priest once a year could even go behind that curtain. It was so sacred and so holy. And then that curtain ripped from top to bottom when Jesus was crucified. And everybody saw it. They heard it. And the curtain ripped. And he was saying, no longer is my presence confined to one man one time a year. My presence now is inside of you. On the day of Pentecost, a mighty rushing wind, cloven tongues of fire, sat up on each of them. All 120 were filled with the power and the presence of God. We became the living sap. Tabernacle, the holy temple of God. We became that. And we're walking with that. That's why our life must mimic the Holy Spirit living inside of us. What a mixed message we send to people when we profess Jesus, but they don't see the fruit. And I'm not saying that because we sin, we're not saved. What I'm saying is Paul was addressing a pattern here. It wasn't an isolated incident. He was talking about a pattern. They were living their lives as if nothing had changed. Still partying, still dancing, still, you know, sexual immorality, still fornicating, still practicing all this stuff. He was saying, look, you've been washed. You were that. You're not. What are you doing? Don't hide behind grace as a card of I can do what I want because I got grace. Grace causes us to follow God, not to abuse God. Because when we know, Jesus, you died for my sins and you rose for my justification, and I am free, free, free forevermore because of what you did. Nobody loves you like God. And the way we love him is we follow him and we serve him and we listen to him and we try to be the best representative we can. You know, at your job, you know, Bill works in a corporate world, and Bill is a representative of his department where he works. He's a representative of his company. If Bill acts a fool, that looks bad on his company. If Bill does things right way, it looks good on his company. We are representatives. Dad and Gail work at the auto auction. If they drive in vets 100 miles an hour down 77, that's a bad representation. Blue lights pulled them over, get a ticket, had to go back and face the boss. I'm sorry, boss, I got a ticket. You got a ticket. You're in one of our cars. You got our name on that car. What are you talking about? You acting like, driving like a fool? You representing us and who you work for. How much more God should we represent? I'm representing you, Lord. Everything that I do, every word that I say, every action represents you. Come on up, Marjorie. Play something. I know I could be preaching the choir this morning. I very well may be preaching the choir this morning. I told Bill before service, I saw his turn, I said, either it's the right message or it's the right message. So, don't know. But I do want us, before we leave this place today, if we read what Paul has said, we've heard what God has said and how he desires that we live for him, that we crucify this flesh, as Paul said in one place. Crucifying the flesh means that I suppress the appetites of what I was and I let the new appetite of God rise. What I used to desire, God, help me not desire anymore. What I used to walk in, Lord, help me not walk in no more. God, the bondage and the struggle that I'm in now, I don't want that to continue to be my struggle. God, I want to be free from it. And to be free from something, we have to surrender to recognize that we are bound to it. We have to say, Lord, I know I'm wrong. And I need your help. God, I know I'm weak and I need your strength. God, I know I'm lost and I need to be found. God, I'm hopeless and I need your hope. I'm in a place, God, I don't want to be, and I want to be in a better place. And I'm ready for that cycle to be broken today. I'm ready, God, to surrender it all and stand before you and say, here I am, Lord. Take my life. Take my mind. Take my spirit. I know I'm bought with a price. I'm talking this morning more to those of you that are saved, but you're not surrendered at all. You're not all in. You're saved, but you're not all in. The part of this world still got you. Part of this world is still kind of keep you pulled back, and you're not walking the fullness of what God has for you. I want to open this up this morning and say, Lord, I'm ready to surrender. I'm ready, God. I want to be all in today. If that's you, I'm going to have Marjorie sing this song in a minute. And I want you to come up here and stand with me, and let's just agree together and say, Lord, I want to be all in today. From this point on, God, I'm all in. I'm all in. My body belongs to you. My mind belongs to you. My life belongs to you. From this point on, God, I'm yours. Direct me, and I will follow. Speak to me, and I will listen, and I will obey. She sings this song. If that's you, come up here, and let's pray together this morning. Walk up here and say, God, I want to be more like you. Just surrender this morning. God is calling. God is drawing. It doesn't mean you're bad. It just means you want to draw closer to the Lord and say, God, I'm all in. I'm ready to be all in. I recognize I'm bought with a price and I'm not my own. I want to serve you the fullest that I can, God. I'm ready
can let these things go, that I can walk in the full blessing you have waiting on me. If that's you, walk up here. Let's pray.
I want to be more like you, Jesus. I want to be more like you. I want to be a vessel you work through. I want to be more like you.
Let's pray together this morning. Those of us, Lord, standing in your presence right now, have made a intentional step forward to say, God, here I am, and I want to be all in right now. I'm all in, God. I give you everything right now. I lay everything on the line. I give you everything, every thought, every purpose, every plan. God, everything. I surrender it all. For those things that are hindering me, I pray you take them out of my life. You release me and you break those chains off my life. That you created me a new spirit, Lord, a clean heart, a right desire, that I will want to serve you to the fullest of my abilities. That God, all the world is trying to take me in, that it be gone, that you lift that world out, that I be not transformed, that I be not conformed to the world, be transformed, God, by the dear Son. Right now, in the name of Jesus, Lord, lift it off as I'm all in and I surrender to you. Take my life, take my hand, take my steps, take my words, take my actions, take my future from this day forward, and lead me to the places you have planned for me. In the name of Jesus, this is the day you hath made, and I'm going to rejoice, and I'm all in, because I know I'm bought with a price. Thank you, Lord, for filling my heart today with newness of life, with newness, God, newness of purpose, newness of plan, that I will follow you and I will let the world go, and I'll be proud to stand in front of the cross declaring I am a child of the living God, and you, there is no other but you. In Jesus' name, we give you all honor, praise, and glory. Amen. Amen. Y'all love each other up here before you sit down and give each other some encouragement. Nothing like being all in. Usher, come on up this morning. Give me a chance to give your offering and tithes this morning. Appreciate those of you that came out this morning. We stand before you about to give of our first fruits. We're thankful for you blessing us with work. We are thankful for our health. We're thankful for all your provision and protection. As we sow this seed today of faith, we sow it, Lord, in obedience to your word, knowing you can take this and multiply it back to your kingdom and back to the sower. We can give you praise and honor as it's part of our worship. Bless everything that's given in Jesus' name. Amen.